Instagram. And anyway, that was the story last week. Stephanie at the time also emailed me about something she loves doing called, what did she call it? It goes by different names, like tour skating or long distance skating. And I didn't know what it was. I had never really heard the term before. And I said, you know, do you mean like skating on cross-country skis, or do you mean like long-distance skating on just regular ice skates? I really didn't understand. Anyway, she sent me this email, and here's what she says. Hi again, Gary. Great podcast yesterday. I guess you just heard the last week's show. As Gord said, it is way cool. Okay, Wikipedia has a brief and good explanation of the sport. And you gave me the link to that. I'll put that link in the show notes so you can check it out as well. There are lots of great video, photos, and info links, and you can see that no one really has decided on one name for the sport. And here are a couple of decent videos I found on YouTube. She sent me links, and they're good videos. I'll put links in the show notes to those. She says, it is a sport with risks, as you can see on the last slide of one of the videos, but there are many levels to it. I only take my son on ice thick enough for a tractor. You can skate on large lakes and even the sea. It's a great outdoor activity. The technique resembles skiing rather than skating, so I think you would love it. I will write more about it if you're interested in the new year. And yeah, I would like to hear more. In fact, I really do want to talk to you, Stephanie. So let's plan on getting together and doing something over the phone from Sweden about this and other outdoor recreation that you and your family do in Sweden. Then she writes, thanks again for the great show. I think it is wonderful that you include all forms of outdoor experiences, all from taking a walk in the woods to extreme adventures. It makes it dynamic. And that's from Stephanie Helmer in Sweden. Now, I found one other webpage, if I can find it here, and I'll put links to this one too, that describes it. It's called here Long Distance Ice Skating. There are several possible translations of the Swedish term, and I won't even begin to pronounce that, including tour skating, trip skating, cross-country skating, backcountry skating, Nordic skating, long-distance skating, wild skating. Apparently, it is extremely popular now in Sweden with over 100,000 skaters in hundreds of clubs who sometimes skate 100 kilometers a day. This is really interesting stuff. Now, what they do, and I've seen pictures, and there are pictures and there are the YouTube videos. A lot of them have these long blades that are, they look like they're almost as wide as a narrow cross-country ski where the boot goes on it, and then it tapers to a V into the blade. And this is a very long, long skate blade that's intended to skate over unequal, you know, rough ice and maybe some snow patches and that type of thing. It's not your regular skate, that's for sure. And the pictures I've seen, they're using like cross-country ski boots, the kind of backcountry boots that I use. And the binding's on there, and they just snap them right into these long blades. And then they go off skating or ski skating or whatever you want to call it. And they use what looks like cross-country ski poles as well. And a lot of times they use that, though, to check ice and just to have that little pick there so they can propel themselves over the ice. Just really interesting, and I cannot believe that I didn't really know anything about this before. Now, there's an interesting, in this webpage I'll put links in for you to read. There's some information about long reachers, long distance skating in 1870 in New Brunswick, where I live. Now, I've told you about the St. John River. And this is a long river. It freezes in the winter. And years ago, people used to skate up and down this river. And I mean, we're talking like 60, 70 or more miles between Fredericton and St. John on the coast. And people would skate. And what they would do, there's an area not far from me called Long Reach on the river. And way back when, they invented, someone who was living there, a guy named James Wepley, in 1860 invented long reach skates that are really kind of a form of what these long distance tour skates or tour skis are all about. And it's just an interesting comparison that it was in a way the sport was sort of born right here, and yet no one here does it or really knows much about it, and yet it's very popular in Sweden. So just an interesting comparison there, and you can read through it yourself. I will find out more about this, and I do want to talk to Stephanie about it. And you know what else? I want to do it. It looks like so much fun. As I said, I'm not much of a skater, but I think this kind of thing on a frozen lake or frozen river would just be fabulous to do. It just looks like so much fun. So I'm going to check that out for sure. Of course, you have to be careful with the ice and everything, but that's okay. We can do that. We're all up for all kinds of outdoor adventures here. All right, that was an email from Stephanie. I want to thank her for that one very much. Now, she wrote, "The lakes are beginning to freeze, so hopefully we will get a skate in soon. Now, I wasn't sure what Nordic skating was called in English since I took it up first here. I think it may really be called long-distance ice skating. Maybe you know. Is there a community of those skaters in Canada somewhere?" Well, it got me thinking about it. I started finding out and doing a bit of research on it about ice skating, Nordic skating, and thought, well, I got to do something on it. And today we are. And this is just a little final thing from Stephanie when she introduced me to our guest. She says, "I have a possible interview opportunity for you. My next door neighbor, the one whose video you put up on your tour skating link," okay, and that's a pass link, and I will post some more fabulous links on this sport. Anyway, he is a long-distance skating enthusiast. He has been skating for many years and is a remarkable person. Among other things, skating-related, he is a group tour leader, an ice reporter, and he even did a 24-hour on-ice skating competition. I'm sure he has many stories, and he's the best person I know to talk about the sport. Now, at the time, this was back in February, I think, our guest, who we're going to hear in a second, was actually in India visiting his daughter. So it took a little while to get this set up and to get the time to do the interview. But yeah, anything and everything you want to know about long distance or Nordic skating, this guy has some of the answers. It's a fascinating interview. I just recorded it a couple days ago. His name is Bengt Furuness, and he lives in Sweden. And here is my interview about Nordic skating. Hello there, Bengt.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now, have you put your skates away for the season?
Yeah, actually, I put them on the shelf a week ago.
So that's it for skating. Now, Stephanie called me about this or emailed me and told me about this this type of skating that you do and that she discovered in Sweden. And she called it, you know, long-distance skating, skate touring, cross-country skating. What is the actual name for it?
Yeah, the name is in Swedish is Långfärd Skridsko, which is long-distance ice skating. And some call it Nordic ice skating and, tour skating. And so it's a lot of names for one fun thing.
For one fun thing. And describe what it is. What is it that you do?
It's skating on skates which are a little longer than normal hockey skates or bandy skates. They are about 400 millimeters long, and the thing you put your feet in, the shoes, the bindings are quite simple. Or you can also use cross-country skiing bindings to put your feet into the skates. And it's important that it should be easy to take off your skates, because often you walk between lakes. Some places in Sweden we have a lot of lakes, and you can just walk some 100 meters and continue your tour on next lake. And go back again, or go to a railway station some far point from here, and take the train back or something.
So
it's kind of exploring the countryside on skates.
So the idea is it sounds like anyway you can grab your skates and put a pack on and you can go for the whole day, maybe cover 100 kilometers.
Yeah. Easily. 100 kilometers if you're a good skater, but normally maybe between 20 and 50 kilometers for a normal skater on a day tour.
Now, I've seen videos of this, and in fact you've posted one, and I'll put links in the show notes so people can see this on YouTube. But these are not typical skate blades, right? These are kind of wider and longer. They're almost like sort of little short little skis with blades on them.
Yeah, they are, as I said, about 400, 500 millimeters long. And they're not so high over the ice as the normal hockey skates, so they're more comfortable to stand on. So you can, with good pair of shoes, you can easily do a full day tour without getting too tired in your feet. And it's important for us in Sweden, you know, we are security people. We have security cars and we think security all the time. So we are careful about wearing security equipment to, if the ice would break, we wouldn't get in any dangerous situations.
Yeah, no, I guess that's a big part of it, isn't it? Safety, because you are on all kinds of lakes, and you carry a pole with you too. What's that for?
Yeah, it's a pole for sensing the ice ahead of you. So often you use your ears and your eyes to hear and see how the ice looks like, but sometimes you need to feel it, and then you take the pole and throw it or stab it into the ice ahead of you. And if it's not breaking, it's okay to skate. So often you don't use the pole for more than a couple of times every day, but if you're on thin ice or if it's late in springtime, you have to sense the ice quite often, so you know where to go.
Where did this sport originate?
Well, the skating originated well, maybe here in north. They found in excavations, they found bones with strings attached to the bones. They were using them almost like skis on ice. So it was the first prototype of long-distance ice skates in Sweden. And but I think Holland is the country where the real skating took place in the maybe 15th century or 16th century. But in Sweden, it became a big sport from, well, say, about 1910.
Well, when you think of Sweden and you think of Scandinavia, you know, you think of Nordic skiing, cross-country skiing, and everybody doing that. But, I mean, how many people would go and do the skate touring?
The ice skating? I talked to a friend. We are... A lot of skaters, ice skaters in Sweden are connected to some kind of a club, an ice skating club. Together we have a common network using computers and telephones to report where you can find good ice. And members connected to this kind of ice community is about 24,000 in Sweden. And some 2,000-3,000 more in Finland, Norway, and Holland. So we all in one big network, communicating with each other and giving tips where to go skating.
So you know where the best ice is, the safest ice, and tell me about that, because of course here in Canada we'll have it's almost a rarity to have clear, you know, solid, hard ice. Usually it's broken up or there's snow on it or, you know, how do you find that good ice and how often can you go out?
Yeah, it's a little because of the climate here. If you go up to the northern Sweden, it's the same as in Canada. You get ice quite early in the season and then maybe just possible to ice skate for some week. Or some weeks, and then a lot of snow gets onto it, and it's not possible anymore. But here in mid-Sweden and south Sweden, you often get ice normally, and then there comes some snow, and then there comes some rain, and the snow melts down and is transformed to new ice. So you can get a season that is quite long. Normally, here we skate from mid or late November until late March, early April.
Wow, that's a great season.
Yeah, it's a half year.
Yeah, no kidding. Man, so give me an idea of what a typical session or day-long skate would be like. I mean, you go. It sounds like you go out in a group, you pack your lunch, you pack food, and it's a real social event as well.
Yeah, it's depending a little on in which occasion you do, if it's with the family or if it's skating with the club. And if you're a good skater, you want to join some other good skaters who can skate fast, and you can do very long distances. But a normal club tour is announced via the internet and posted on email lists. So people get on their computers. This Saturday we go. We meet there and there, and then we go by cars or by bus, and we will skate some lakes. And then we meet, and then we go to the lake, and we are divided in different groups. If you're a good skater, you want to join other good skaters, and if you want to go in a more slow pace, you find your friends in another group. So no one has to feel outside. You can find your good skating friends in one group, and then there's a leader in every group whose responsibility is to lead the others in a safe and nice way, find the right way over the ice and to next lake, and then you stop for a lunch break or coffee break at 10 o'clock maybe, and then a lunch break at 1 o'clock. Maps and GPS and to... check out where we are, and we meet at some place where the cars are parked, or where there's a bus connection, or quite often we use a rented bus, so we can go off the bus at one place, and then you can skate for a whole day, and the bus will stand at the end of the tour, and you just go on the bus and grab a beer and can have a nice ride back home.
Well, it sounds great. What was your longest trip this year, this winter?
This year was 107 kilometers, I think.
Oh, wow. How long did that take?
Full day. Started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was at the end of the trip at about 5 in the evening.
Well, you know, I've looked at your videos there, and it just looks like so much fun. I'm not much of a skater myself, but I'm a skier. I do a lot of skiing. Now, tell me this: do most of the skaters that you're with, are they also Nordic skiers?
Not very many, I think, because you have to choose.
Yeah.
the Norwegians, we understand they are more skiers than ice skaters, because when they have a good snow season, you never see them active on the internet. But when they have little snow, they're a big activity on the ice instead. so they make the choice because depending on the snow situation.
Right. Now, the thing that I'm interested in, I know the season is over now, but I'm looking ahead to next year. I really want to try this thing, and yet I don't know of anybody in North America that is actually doing this kind of skating. What's your sense of that? Is it being done elsewhere in the world?
I think this is a Nordic and growing bigger and bigger also in Holland. Sweden is the number one country, I guess, and Finland is the next one, and parts of Russia also has joined this internet community. So there are some Russian clubs attached also, but it's mainly it's a Nordic thing. I guess, by tradition and by the good climate situation. And maybe it's it would be a big market in coastlines of USA and Canada, I guess.
Well, I think so. I think it could work, you know. And I'm so where do you get the gear? If someone wanted to try this, where do you find it?
Oh, it's in all the sports shops here.
Okay.
but some are more specialized than others. But there are two or three big makers of ice skates in Sweden. And you also have Dutch skates, Zandstra, quite big also. But I think if you find a good retailer in US or Canada, they can get skates for you.
Yeah, or get it online too. I'm sure you can do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I know if you search the internet, there are people in Canada and North America doing this. I know at least one person in Canada who's often is posting on email lists and asking about the skating situation in Sweden and how to get gear and so on. So I think he started up something in Canada for bringing skates to Canada from Sweden.
So what would you say, finally, what would you say to someone who kind of, you know, maybe saw the videos or is listening to this and thinking, wow, that sounds like kind of a fun thing to do. What do you say to them to convince them to give it a try?
Yeah, it's not a very expensive hobby. You need the skates and you need the security gear. Then you have to find a friend who is also likes this thing to do, because you should never go alone, never. And then just go for it. And the ice, you can skate the ice from 5 centimeters. It's quite safe if you just know how ice works and how ice can change during daytime and by sun and so. But if it's thicker than 5 centimeters, it's good for skating.
You should be okay. And again, you know, safety, as you said, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think so. Get some good equipment and some good friends and start a club.
Well, maybe we'll look at that next year. That would be great.
You can do it in all ages. There are some, one of my best skating friends, Orval. He is 71 years old, and he's doing this as fast as I skate. So it's nothing about age and technique. It's more about technique than strength. And you don't need so much equipment and you don't need so much strength just to get the good feeling of crossing the skates. And mm-hmm. If you go on a little shorter skates, ice skates, and with the bindings that your heel can lift from, then you get quite good maneuverability, so you can do very narrow skating near the shorelines and go around the stones and have a little fun. And it's also a lot of technique in when you have a strong headwind, you have to make yourself as little as possible and kneel down and kind of make a small target for the wind to hit.
Exactly.
And then you also can, if you're a group, you can put one man in the front and then the others just go a couple of decimeters between them. So you form kind of like bicycles cyclists do and mm-hmm. Skiers do. They use the slipstream to get better speed.
Like drafting.
Yeah, exactly. That's the word.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
maybe next winter.
Yeah, I hope so.
Listen, Bengt, it's really good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I really do appreciate you taking the time to introduce me and hopefully a lot of other people to this this great new sport.
Yeah, I hope I can make some people go out there.
All right, well, thank you, and all the best, and have a good summer. What are you going to do now that you've hung up your skates?
It's inline skating, of course.
Okay.
And also, on older days, I'm actually 51 years old, so I've taken up kayaking again. So I got a 50-year birthday gift was a kayak, so I'm going for some kayaking this winter, I hope, this summer, I hope.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
No Good problem. Talking to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
What a great guy. Bengt Furuness from Sweden, and a long-distance Nordic skater extraordinaire. He's got a couple links there. He's got a YouTube video that he did that I'll put links in the show notes so you can see that. And then another video that he recommended on YouTube on skating, a really well-done one. Not that his wasn't. It was, but this one was particularly interesting. The technique they used to do it, they used big, long poles for the camera so you get an overhead view. Anyway, Just a great video to really give you a taste of what this sport is all about. And you know what? I am next year. And he said that he thinks there are places in Canada and the States where Nordic skating would work well. And it's you know, really not done here by many people. There's one guy in Canada. He sent me a link, an email about him. And I think, you know, I'm going to connect with this fella and see if we can maybe find out more about it next winter and maybe try to get some Nordic skating going, or at least give it a try somewhere. There's a guy in Nova Scotia, but not too far from me, that I'm going to try to get in touch with. So anyway, interesting sport. If you want to find out more, check out the links, go online, find out more, and give me some feedback too. If you've done it, if you've ever done it, if you'd like to do some of it, and you know, it sounds like a fun thing to do. Especially if you're living in the States or in Canada, then get in touch with me. doingstuffoutdoors@yahoo.ca. That's doingstuffoutdoors@yahoo.ca. Okay, just for the occasion, we've got some